Blog Talk Radio.
This is Tommy Lasorda, and all of you sports fans who listen to PJ, he is outstanding. What a beautiful interviewer he is. So listen in. PJ will bring a lot of exciting and wonderful things to all of your fans and wherever you are, PJ.
Welcome back to PJ Sports Talk, the place to be every Sunday at noon. I'm your host, PJ, and this is the PJ Sports Talk, the Dream episode. So I want to talk about the Wisconsin-Duke game. Of course, it's the big topic around sporting news right now, along with NBA playoffs coming up, and also we have baseball. Season's going to be starting up very quickly here. So, or I think it's already started up. I know the Rays just had their opening game, so that's really cool. So, I want to talk about Wisconsin and Duke. So, we went to a Packer bar, and we kind of just, you know, we watched the game, and it was really cool. And, you know, we were leading, and we had momentum. We had control. And, you know, it turned into a disaster. And it was really, really sad. I mean, I thought Wisconsin was going to win. I really did. I thought Kentucky was a better team than Duke, and Wisconsin was going to beat them. Now, there's a lot of controversy going on with the refs. And I know... I'm a Wisconsin Badgers fan. Of course, I'm going to be biased. I'm always going to blame it on the refs. I'm not going to want to blame it on my team. Yes, but you got to think of it, you know, like this, right? Let's say I'm a Duke fan and I'm, you know, which I would never be. Let's say I'm a Duke fan and I, you know, see a Wisconsin fan, you know, saying, the refs did terrible. And you'd be like, yeah, well, you're just whining. And I see that a lot around, you know, the referee discussions. But here's the problem, right? If we were whining, right, and if we were biased, it wouldn't be in score. It wouldn't be on SportsCenter. You know, they wouldn't be talking about Wisconsin being robbed, basically, at the very end of that game. So that's first off. That's my take on, you know, Duke fans saying, now you're just whiny little fans. Here's the second thing, too, right? People say that we got our fair share of calls, too, and I would say, yes, there were some calls that were in Wisconsin's favor, but here's the problem. They weren't in the last 2 minutes of the game, you know? I mean, think about it. Wisconsin, they're so good. They held Okafor to three-quarters of the way through the second half, you know, 6 points on the what people are, you know, predicting to be the number one pick in the draft, you know? So that's an accomplishment. It really is. And I know we got Kentucky, but there's no way we're going to the big dance again. Sam Decker, they're talking about him possibly going pro, so he might not be coming back. Really, the only leader that we'll have on our team is Nigel Hayes, and he was only getting 13 points per game, while Decker and Kamensky were getting around 20. So those were the two stars in that team that really carried that team, and now they don't have them. So they're not going to be able to come back. But here's my – we also have more on it. So let me talk about the calls, right? If you didn't see the game, let me talk about the calls. There was two calls, one where Dusty Winslow went around the basket, under the basket, and his foot went out of bounds. And he passed it up to Tyus Jones, and Tyus Jones made a three-pointer, and that put Duke up by three, right? And there's another – this was at the very end of the game. And then the other one was where Justice Winslow, it picked off his fingertip, right? And it was very, very obvious, too. Because, I mean, I'll have more on that. So this was the controversial play. I mean, of course, the foot thing – I don't know how they wouldn't have seen that, even on the Jumbotron. If they saw it there, then why don't they just go and review it and change the call? I don't get it. So Justice Winslow, the controversial play is when the fingertip on the ball, right? And the first thing that the refs came out saying the day after Tuesday, the overseer for the referees in that game, during that game, came out and said the refs didn't see the angle that they saw on the broadcast, right? Well, then 2 days later, the president, the vice president of the NCAA, the one who runs March Madness, says they did see the angle, but they didn't see it for a long time. Now, here's the thing, right? I have more information on this play right here. This play has been dissected, and, you know, they've basically done a whole crime scene story on this. I've been watching Hawaii 5-0 recently. So they took this play apart, and I went back and watched that that play on the broadcast, and it actually the first time that the replay shows, the announcers say, oh, the ball changed direction. Now, think of it this way. If the ball changes direction, is it because of the wind? No, the wind can't change the direction of the ball if the ball's already going in that direction. You know, an outside force has to change the direction of the ball, right? And the announcers saw that, and that was in the first angle. I mean, I don't get it, man. If you see the ball the direction of the ball change, right? And I mean, think of it this way. They're looking at this replay for 2 minutes. 2 minutes. And they reach the last angle of the replay. Why can't they just stay a little bit longer and watch that replay angle? And then the play would have been changed. That would have been 2 points. So, the one where Justice Winslow went under the basket and his foot stepped out, that's 3 points. And then the other one where it hit off his hand, that's 2 points. That's 5 points in Wisconsin. Guess what? Lost by 5 points. Wisconsin, it would have been tied, and I would be willing to bet you that Wisconsin would have won. Now, props to Duke. All right, props to Duke. They got to the big dance, and they're a great team. They're full of talent, and we couldn't figure out. We stopped Justice Winslow, and we stopped Okafor, but we couldn't stop Tyus Jones. He scored 30 points out of Duke's, I think it was like 6 or 68 or something like that. And he scored 29 points of Duke's 68 points. And they couldn't find a way to stop that Grayson guy, you know, small freshman. And they say that he has a lot of talent. He has a lot left to go. He's definitely not going to college or pro this year. I mean, there's people, it was floating around a little bit that because of that performance he could, but I think he's going to, you know, I don't think it's going to happen. I think he's just going to kind of stay in Duke and get a little bit better, and then he's going to go pro. Now, think about it this way, right? I mean, Duke has the number one pick in the draft, the number one rounder, right? And he's a freshman, right? Kentucky, almost all of their freshmen are probably going to go pro, right? Stanley Johnson, he's going pro, right, from Arizona. There's a couple of others, right, that I think there's like two guys coming out of high school that are going pro. Now, here's the thing, right? It's called the one-and-done rule, right? You go to college your freshman year, you get noticed, and then you go to NBA, right, just like that. And it's really a short time. Now, think of it this way. What happens to those kids who haven't gone to college, there, or some people that are just coming out of high school, and they go straight to the NBA, and they retire? What happens, right? What if they didn't save their money? What if they, you know, they didn't put it into a savings account and, you know, kind of just left it there so when they retire, what happens then? They're left out on the street, and they have to go back to school. And like I said, if they don't have, you know, the money to go back, if they spent it all, right, or they were a bus, right, if it's a high school kid coming into the NBA and they're a bus, right, they're not good, they're done, right?
they need to go back to school and, you know, do that all over again. So the thing is, you know, thing with the NFL, you have to be in your junior year or senior year in order to go to the NFL. But the reason why you can do that is because they have a bunch of ticky-tacky rules that, you know, enable that. But in the NBA, I think that they have to figure out a way to, you know, change that. Because think about it. After those kids go out of the NBA, they have nowhere else to go. It's not helping the society that, you know, it's not helping us because they can't contribute, you know. They don't have any education. So the one-and-done rule is being negotiated right now, and they're talking about possibly changing it. And also, this will enable a lot more talent to go to other teams. Think about it. There could be a crazy team. There could be a team, you know, like in football, right? A team could be really bad, right? But, I mean, because all these other places have really good players, they can go there and they can make them great. Great example. Robert Griffin III, he made Baylor great. You know, he really helped them out. And I'm not saying that's because they don't have a one-and-done role, but it's, you know, that could happen with college basketball, you know, because every year Kentucky gets a new round of freshmen. Same with Duke. Same with, you know, Villanova. You know, all those teams, Virginia, right? You have not Wisconsin. Wisconsin, I mean, look at Wisconsin, right? All of the boys from Wisconsin were either from Wisconsin, like they were born in Wisconsin, or they, you know, came from Illinois or Minnesota, somewhere around there, right? But, I mean, you look at Duke and Kentucky, they're coming from, you know, California, they're coming from Florida, they're coming from, you know, Washington, they're coming from New York, all four corners of the United States. They cover that whole entire board, right? But if they enable this one-and-done rule, it allows more talent to go to other teams, and it creates a more competitive atmosphere, and it also, I mean, it also helps society, right? Because once those kids go out of the NBA, they have something to do. So I think they should really work more on that one-and-done rule and that sort of thing. So, yeah, I want to, you know, I want to congratulate Wisconsin. I also want to congratulate Duke. As much as I hate them, you know, they did a great job coming all the way to the big dance and beating Wisconsin. It really was a tough task. And Wisconsin, it was a long road, and you guys got there, and you guys got payback on Kentucky. You got them, and I'm really happy about that. So for those of you that didn't watch last year's Wisconsin run, they went up against Kentucky, and Kentucky won a buzzer beater, beating Wisconsin last year. And now they want to they beat Kentucky this year and ruin their, you know, unbeaten streak. And yeah, they were only one game away, so I feel good about that. But anyway. That's going to do it for this big dance segment. Stay right here on PJ Sports Talk, the place to be every Sunday at noon. We'll be right back to talk about more sporting news. Stay right here.
Did you hear the news? There's a new theme park in Central Florida.
All the kids are talking about it because it's totally built for us.
It's Legoland Florida, and it's the coolest place ever.
It's where we can play our part and be almost anything.
Be a knight and slay dragons.
Be a firefighter and save the day.
Get my driver's license and drive all over Lego City.
Captain my own boat like I'm on the high seas.
It's like my favorite toy came to life.
I can travel all over the country.
New York City, Washington, D.C., San Francisco.
Cities built with over 30 million Lego bricks.
There's even a pirate water ski stud show. Arr, matey.
I wish I lived at Legoland.
It's the ultimate land of Lego bricks.
And the best part is, it's right in our backyard.
Play your part at Legoland Florida. We are now open with more than 50 rides, shows, and attractions, like the Dragon Coaster, Driving School, and the incredible Miniland USA. We're located just 45 minutes from Orlando and Tampa. Find us on Facebook or visit Legoland.com.
Welcome back to PJ Sports Talk, the place to be every Sunday at noon. I'm your host, PJ, and welcome back. So I want to talk about, some things. So the first round of the NHL playoffs is going to begin very soon. The schedule was just released, and so looking forward to that. Also, the Masters is going on. And I mean, Spieth. Yeah, and so what a great performance by him, a breakout star. And it's going to be interesting to see who wins that. He sets a 54 hole Masters record at 16 under. And he's winning by four, and it's going to be interesting. He should win. Jordan Spieth is his name. So really, really excited for that. Very cool stuff. He's only 21 years old, so pretty new to the golf community, I guess you could say. I'm really excited for NHL to be starting up. You know, then is really when I start getting into it. Same with NBA. It's kind of hard to get into it when, you're having a game every single day. So we'll see. Also, more info on James Winston. He has just entered he is just scheduled to visit the Jets. So we're going to see what he thinks of them. And also, like I said, NBA playoffs coming up. So, yeah, very excited. We're going to see. Anyway, thank you for this listening to this edition of PJ Sports Talk, the place to be every Sunday at 3. I will see you all next week. Make sure to have a fabulous weekend. And remember to always talk the talk and walk the walk. I'll see you next weekend with some more sporting news. This is PJ signing out.